Ephesians chapter 4. And as we are going scripture by scripture, wow, it's so great to get into the Word of God. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, the topic that I would give today is the changed lifestyle of the Christian. The changed lifestyle of the Christian. Now, as I said, I'm reading from the ESV version. That's English Standard Version. That's supposed to be the best translation. And I praise God for this book. And so anyway, let's continue on verse 20. And as verse 20 says, "But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus." Now, last week we saw that the Christians do not behave as the unbelievers. Amen. The unbelievers are alienated from God. And the result is they have a heart that is sinful, because you are alienated with God, you are in darkness, you have a heart that is sinful, and out of the heart comes all impurity and wickedness and wicked behavior, sinful behavior. Now, the question is, why did Paul remind us of the unbelievers who are darkened in their understanding? And why did Paul remind us in the previous verses that we studied before, why did he remind us the alienation of the unbelievers from God and their heart that is so hard? And why did he mention of their sensuality and their greediness and impurity? Why? The reason is because you will remember how you lived before Christ. We need to remember how we lived. We need to be reminded of our days before Christ. How we loved the darkness of sin. How we lived to gratify our flesh and had a great appetite for the flesh and for the worldly things and not for the Lord. Before, we were just like the unbelievers. We spent time in partying, drinking, you know, sports and movies and, you know, the lust of the flesh, the TV, that all things that is not good to watch. And we had a religion on Sunday, but we never had a desire and a true hunger for the Lord. But there was a change. And this change is not a small change, but it's a radical change. A new, why is the change? Why was it a radical change? Because a new heart was given. But some might say, I always have been a good person. I wasn't a bad person. I have been pretty good all the time. Does it mean that you never had a change? Well, the Bible says that no one is good. Nobody is unrighteous. You know, the change comes in if you are born again. God gives a new heart and a new soul, a new spirit. There's a change. Look at this. Even when you look at the calendar, it is divided into two. Our calendar, the BC before Christ, and AD means Anno Domini. It means the year of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the dividing line of history. Not only He is the dividing line of history, you get BC and AD, right? He's the dividing line of history. Not only that, but also, for the Christian, He has divided our personal life. At one time, we were before Christ. But there was a change. There was a change. And after that change, there was a point that Christ came into our life and brought us from darkness to the marvelous light of Christ. There was a change. So just like He is a dividing line in history, in our personal life, He becomes a dividing line for us. in our personal life. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. The old have passed away. What is the old? Some of your Bibles might say the old things have passed away. A real good translation is not the old have passed away. That means our old nature has passed away. Okay? It's our old nature has passed away. It means our old practices, our old conduct, our old behavior has passed away because the old heart has passed away. And now God has given us a new heart, a new soul, and we have new rules, new principles, new practices in Christ Jesus. The way we think is different now because the Spirit of God is in us. Okay, it's the Spirit of God is the one who leads us, right? And so we think differently now. When we think differently, we behave differently. Verse 20, if you look at Ephesians 4:20, says here, but that is not the way you learn Christ. This verse is the dividing line of your old nature and the new. This is a contrast. You never learn Christ in your old nature, in your old behavior. That's not the way you learn of Christ. Now, only in ESV, English Standard Version, in this translation, you will see at the end, you will see that verse 20, but that's not the way you learn Christ, and there is an exclamation mark. And only in the ESV, you find the exclamation mark at the end of the scripture. Now why there's an exclamation mark? Because the exclamation mark is there to emphasize something here that Apostle Paul is emphasizing the sharp contrast of the unbeliever's life to the Christian life. Reminding us that's not the way we learned of Christ. John Calvin, when he came to this verse, he said, I quote, he now, this is what Calvin said, he now draws a contrast of a Christian life, so to make it evident how utterly inconsistent it is with the character of a godly man to defile himself regardless with the abominations of the Gentiles. The unbelievers, their hearts are corrupted, selfish, greedy, sinful, have the desires of this world, living according to their passions, according to their flesh, always gratifying the flesh. That is not the way we learn of Christ. We did not learn of a Christ like this. I learned of a Christ who is righteous, who is holy. The Christian living is a living to Christ, like a pleasing to God. That's the contrast here. Big difference between the unbelievers and the Christians. That's why there's an exclamation mark there. And verse 20 says, you learned Christ. You learned Christ. You did not learn of a subject here. Or a philosophy. If you see any other religion, take any other religion other than Christianity. Their teachings come first. Their doctrines come first. And the person is behind. But in Christianity, only the teacher is in front. It says here, we learned Christ. It's not the subjects of philosophy of Christ, but learn of the person Jesus Christ. This means we, the true Christians, have entered into a personal relationship with the living Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is learning of Him. That means knowing Him. That is what it is. Having the knowledge of Him. Knowing Him. If I say, do you know President Bush? Of course we might say, yes, I have heard about him. But do you know him personally? Of course not. So we need to have a personal relationship with Him. Knowing Him. That is what it means, having a personal relationship. In John chapter 17, verse 3. John 17:3 said, this is eternal life, and that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Wow! This is really eternal life, is to know the living God, to know the true living God. The word know means, it means intimately. It means like in the Old Testament, it says Adam knew his wife. That there means there was an intimate, personal relationship. That's what it means here. That they know you, only through God, through Jesus Christ. Wow! This is amazing. So here also in verse 20, Ephesians 4:20, but that is not the way you learn Christ. The word learned there, the Greek word is manthano. It is related to the Greek word mathetes, which means a disciple. All true Christians, if you say you're a Christian, you are a disciple. You cannot say, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a disciple. If you are a Christian, you are a disciple. If you say you are a Christian and say, but I am not a disciple, then that means you are not a Christian. A disciple is a person who is always learning of Christ and increasing in the knowledge of Christ. He's a disciple. Follower of Christ. Who would imitate Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. God says, Colossians 2, 3, in whom, that is in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wow! In whom all the treasures and the wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ Jesus. A disciple is one who will go and find these treasures and knowledge or wisdom because we want to be more like Christ. Learn of Christ is not only learning the doctrine of Christ, but learning Christ Himself. Getting to know Christ in a personal way, having an intimate relation with Him, abiding in Him. There are many who know the doctrines of Christ. They can be teachers, but the question is, do they live in Him? Have they applied the knowledge that they have learned to their behavior? That is living in Him. It is a matter of learning, and there will be a change in lifestyle and behavior living in Him. Personal relationship with Him. And that is what matters. Now, how did you learn of Christ? The next verse tells you. How did you learn? Verse 21. He says, you're assuming that you have heard about Him and you are taught in Him as the truth in Jesus. First, you heard of Him. How did you hear? Of course, it is from the preacher. Or you read the Word of God. When you began to read the Word of God. But how many times you heard sermons over and over again. You read the Word of God. And it never brought to any conviction of sin. So you can hear the Word of God. and you can read the Word of God, but it's not going to profit anything unless you're convicted of sin. Just hearing the Word of God, you can hear these sermons day and every week after week after week, but if there's not going to be any change, what profit it is? You just wasted a lot of time. There has to be a profit in hearing the Word of God. So if you are like that, then it's just an external hearing. But one day you realize that when you know, it's just an external hearing, probably one day it happened to you that when the preacher was preaching or when you were reading the Word of God, and suddenly you realize that Jesus is speaking to you. And this is called internal hearing. This is called internal hearing. The word of Him is not the external hearing, but the internal hearing of Christ. Many people have heard Christ externally with their ears, but they had never understood, never changed their hearts when they were changed. Internal hearing is hearing the Word of God, then understanding its truth, then believing in Him. That is, internal hearing is not only hearing, but it's an internal hearing is also in obedience to the Word of God. That is the most important thing. You heard of Him. See, it's so important. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says, Ephesians 1:13, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, then it says, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promise of Holy Spirit. Wow! That was a change there. And you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Once the Holy Spirit sealed you, no man can open. The true hearing is to hear internally. Hear not only from the ears, but to understand it from the heart. So, to know Him, then we know Him. Okay? Understand His word and to distinguish His voice and to respect Him, approve Him, and to love Him and to believe in Him and to see the power of the gospel when we preach and to relish the truth and to obey His commandments, then what? To bear fruits. The result is to bear fruits. Then it says, verse 21, heard of Him, then it says, you were taught in Him. You were taught in Him. When you have a personal relationship with Jesus, you learn of Him, you hear Him, and you were taught of Him. Now there are three verbs here, all three important verbs here. Learn, hear, and taught. Those are very important three verbs we see here. Alright? If you see the verb learn, hear, and taught, what's the result? You got a personal relationship with the Lord. You learn of Him, you heard of Him, and you were taught. You have a personal, when you see, you learn of Him, you heard of Him, you were taught of Him, what's the next one? You follow Him. Right? You follow Him, obedience. That's it, that's natural. John chapter 10, verse 27, John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Then He said, I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hears my voice, and I know them. He knows us, each and every person individually. That means He has a personal, intimate relationship with us, with a Christian, and they will follow Him. Now, who teaches of Christ? As Ephesians says here, that verse 21, we were taught in Him. Who is the teacher? Christ did not say, when I'm gone, you shall find, when I'm gone to heaven, you're going to find the great infallible teacher, the Pope of Rome. No. He is not the teacher. It's not the pastor or the preacher. We are just instruments. The ultimate teacher is God, the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the believer has to do, when you say the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, has to do with our inner man. Inner man, that no soul will be able to truly and understand even what I say unless it has been taught of, by God. The Word of God, the infallible Word of God, the Bible, is not from earth. It's from heaven. It's heavenly in origin. The natural man is on earth cannot understand this heavenly spiritual book, because it is spiritual. Once the natural man is converted by the power of the Holy Spirit, then he can understand the spiritual things. When John chapter 15 verse 26, Jesus said, John 15, when the helper comes, the word helper of course is the Holy Spirit, when the helper, the comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Christ Jesus, he met the demands of the divine justice of God, as we were saved only by the works of Christ. There's nothing we can add to salvation. It is finished. It's a done work when it comes to salvation. But we are still living on this earth. We are still living with this flesh. We cannot get out of this flesh. We still have the world and the enemy. But we have Christ in heaven. And Christ in heaven is not just going to look at us and say, I hope that one day they can make it to heaven. Christ is not scratching his head and saying, I did my work and I hope that they will make it to heaven. No. He has given us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit continues to carry out the redemptive work of Christ in completion. He's going to complete what Christ did. Not only Holy Spirit has regenerated us, but convicted us of sin. Also, He dwells in the believers. He is the one who led us to Christ by faith. So what does the Spirit teach? The Spirit of God teaches us and directs us so that our souls will become will be like Christ, into holiness, will sanctify us. And the Spirit of God will supply us the grace to continue in our walk. And the Spirit of God will what? In this word, in His word, will glorify Christ. He is the greatest teacher, and there be none like Him, as He teaches only the truth in Jesus. He will not teach worldly things. He will not teach things that will please the flesh. He will teach pure, unmixed the truth, the genuine and not a counterfeit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 20. Here, these things, 1 Corinthians 2:10. 1 Corinthians 2:10. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depth of God. Let me give you a little story here, a true story. William Jennings Bryan was a Secretary of State during the time of Woodrow Wilson's cabinet. He was interviewing a man who was looking for a diplomatic forced in China. Brian warned the applicant that it was necessary for him to qualify as a linguist if you are going to be a diplomat in China. Then he asked this question from the applicant, "Can you speak the Chinese language?" The man was, he gave a brilliant answer to that question. And looking Brian on the eye, he replied, "Try me. Ask me anything in Chinese." What I'm trying to say is, here, knowing the language is important. Here, we know the spiritual language, the Christian, and that is the only truth. We know the truth because the Holy Spirit will teach us the truth. The Holy Spirit gives us the gifts for the ministry, gives us boldness, gives us the love to love us, one another. It gives us self-discipline. It produces fruit for the believer. Amen. Now, Charles Spurgeon, he was giving a sermon on John chapter 14, verse 16, which says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever." The Holy Spirit is going to be with us forever. Now Spurgeon, giving this sermon on the Holy Spirit, he is looking at this, that the Holy Spirit is going to abide with us forever. At the end of the sermon, Spurgeon said, "I wish I could get an Armenian here to finish my sermon, because it says that the Holy Spirit is going to abide with us forever. You're not going to lose your salvation." So he was kind of jokingly saying, "I wish I had an Armenian to come and close this sermon here," when he says Holy Spirit is going to abide with you forever. Spurgeon went out to say, I fancy him taking the word forever. He would say, that the Armenian would say, for, he would wait forever. He would have to stammer and stutter the word forever. And for he could never get it all at once. He might stand and pull it about, and lastly he would say, "The translation is wrong." And I suppose the poor man would have to prove that the original was wrong too. But blessed be God, we can read it, "He shall abide with you forever." Once, Spurgeon says, once we have the Holy Ghost, we shall never lose Him. Forever means He is not going to run out. Till eternity He is going to be with us. That is forever. Wow, amazing. Just two verses, but there is so much to it, isn't it? So much. That's why it's so important for us to go back and see where we came from. And sometimes it's important. John Bunyan said it is important for us to meditate sometimes on our BC days, because it's so, we can forget those days easily. And when we remember those days, those BC days, it's not we are enjoying our flesh, no, it's we are mourning for the things that we have done in the past. You know, some people say, "Give your testimony," and I'll tell you, they kind of boast, they enjoy. "Oh, I used to drink a lot, and I used to enjoy." And that's not the way. It's the mourning of sin, what you have done before Christ, and realizing what Christ did for you, how He came, and that Christ is so great that He came that we learned of Christ, we heard of Christ, and we were taught of Christ. Those three verbs are very essential for the Christian, because this is the dividing line for the Christian. Before Christ and after Christ, and after that you will see how you have put off your old self, and you have, you know, the deceitful desires, and we are renewed in the spirit, you will see the change there, the new man. And my question is, did you have a dividing line in your life? Did you have a dividing line in your life? Did you have a change when you heard the word of God? That change is, that is called regeneration. That you are born again. That you are born of the Spirit of God. And that is regeneration. So important, we need to remember that we were, in our BC days, we were hostile to the teachings of God. We didn't want to hear the word of God. We were enemies of God. We want to enjoy the flesh. We want to please our flesh. The word of God kind of put us to sleep before. Why? We were dead in sin. Kind of boring to us before. But when Christ came, a change, a radical change happened. Now, we have an appetite for the word of God. We have a hunger for the word of God. Before, our appetite and our hunger and our thirst and everything was for the world, for the flesh. But now, we have a great appetite for the word of God. And because you're a changed man, the Holy Spirit lives in you. If the Holy Spirit is in us, wow, what will the Holy Spirit do? Yeah, it will convict us of behavior if we are doing wrong. It will direct us in the right path. The word of God, it says here, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says here, it is, some of your Bibles might say, it is inspired. That's a wrong translation. There are a lot of books that are inspired. Many books that are inspired. But the correct translation is, is breathed out from God. That's the correct translation. It's a heavenly book. And it's not just an inspirational book from earth. This is from heaven. And here, we got the book here. Amen. What a treasure we have. We can relish on this treasure. And wow, we can have a personal relationship with Christ, with this word that He has given us. He shed His blood. And what more we need to do? To do nothing. He did it all for us. Amen. That is called grace. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise You. We thank You, Lord, for Your word that is so powerful, that is so convicting, that is so sweet, and so bitter sometimes when it comes to the flesh. We pray and ask, Lord, the word that was preached today, that we would treasure it, that it will become profitable for our souls, Lord. It will become profitable for our lives, and that Your word will not go out empty, but it will accomplish its purpose. We ask, Lord God Almighty, as we need to be reminded of these things, then how we need to have that hunger and a thirst for God through Christ Jesus. We pray, Lord, that our hearts will be hungry, that You would make us hungry, Lord, just like how we are hungry for our physical food, that we would become hungry for You, Lord. Just like a deer is panting after the waters, that we would pant after the Word of God. That You would become priority in our life. That You become number one in our life. Lord, we pray, Lord, that You would bring conviction if it is not. That Your Spirit would sanctify us, separate us unto You, Lord. that you would educate us, Lord, here on this earth through your word, that we will become mature, strong Christians who can truly worship you, truly serve you in the right way. We pray and ask, Lord, that you would fill us now. Go before us, Lord, that we will not forget what we learned today. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's